intellectually petty, radio on your stereo. Don't compare us to anything, this a different scenario. We break records while we pushing the culture forward. Great music and big vibes right in that order. Intellectually petty, radio on your stereo. Don't compare us to anything, this a different scenario. We break records while we pushing the culture forward. Great music and big vibes right in that order.
And you are now tuned into another episode of Intellectually Petty Radio, brought to you by M3S3 Clothing. Men make moves and suckers stand still. And as always, on the mighty, mighty, mighty Nerd DJs Radio Network, you already know, man, week after week, month after month, year after year, we only rock with legends around here. And today is absolutely no exception. We got singer, songwriter, one of the most incredible human beings to ever be birthed, one of the best people in the history of planets and humanity. We got Bev Love coming to join the conversation. How you doing, Queen?
Thank you. Hey, what's up, y'all?
How's your life? How's your family?
Oh, the family is great. The holidays are my favorite time of year, so I'm enjoying it. I'm having a great time.
What is it about, what do you like about Christmas?
Well, for me, Christmas, you know, I grew up in a very religious home, so Christmas was always about Jesus and the birth, not so much about the gifts, but what I really remember was us decorating the tree. My dad had every single vinyl, like, he got the James Brown Christmas, he got the Supremes Christmas, he got Stevie Wonder Christmas, he got Elvis Christmas, so it's always really been about music for me, so yeah.
Shittiest Christmas present you ever got?
I was dating this guy, and he was on tour, and he went to New York, and he came back with this necklace from that was definitely from Kohl's, 100%. 100%.
What's wrong with Kohl's, though?
Maybe if I was a child, but I was a full-grown woman, so when I... You know, when he told me he got me a necklace, I was expecting, you know, a little bit more. Not the one you get the baby, you know.
I'm not mad at that. So singer, songwriter?
Yes.
When did you start singing?
Well, I've been singing my whole life. Like I said, my family's musical. My mom was my church musician. But professionally, my first project came out 2016. Oh, Mikey texted me. What do you say?
Shout out to Mikey Eckstein. If you do not know, the dude knows everybody.
Oh, wait, did I make it go away?
No, you're fine.
Okay, because I can't see me no more. But, yeah, so my first project came out in 2016, and that was called Talk That Shit. I did that one at a Cymbal Sound. That was me and Seth Anderson, and that was, that's when What I Say came out, so that's where everybody pretty much know me about, so that was my big kind of breakthrough into professional singing.
What's been your biggest improvement since the first one?
I would say my voice is clearer now, my writing voice. I think I'm a lot more personal than I was then. I think it was harder to be vulnerable in front of people, and I think that's something that I've learned how to do now.
What changed?
I think just putting that wall down, getting used to being open in front of people is what changed. Yeah, like writing used to normally be for me like something solitary. So when I had to move into the studio and do it with other people, it kind of got, it was frightening, you know what I'm saying? But the more you get around people, the more you're like, hey, I'm sharing. This is me. So yeah, I think that's what changed for us.
How do you deal when something you really think is dope and they don't?
That's the worst. That is the worst. you know what? I just keep going with whoever's in the room. I just try to, I'll move past it. Like, okay, if you don't like it, let's keep going. But if I really think something's dope, I'll hold on to it and I'll work with somebody else on it. I'm not dropping what I like. I'm sorry.
See, I love that about you. That right there is what it takes. Just, you know, I'm no expert, but for me, everybody gets told no.
Yeah.
How do you respond to it?
I'm not invincible. I'm human, but no is a part of life. I actually had to learn how to say no. The more I get told no, it's easier for me to start saying no. But, you know, no is a part of life. Somebody's no is going to be somebody else's hell yeah. So, and then sometimes a no is protection for you. Like, you never know. You might want this opportunity super, super bad. And then you look up and now you at the white party with a baby oil on.
No diddy.
You know what I'm saying? So sometimes no is protection. So. Oh. Yeah.
That's funny, right? So, what is it about writing a song that just really does it for you? And is there a certain process for every song, or is it, you know, like each song kind of writes itself?
Oh no, there's a different process for every song for sure. What I'm learning now is to write even when. What my high school theater teacher used to say was sometimes the ghost won't be there. So sometimes you're super inspired. You wake up in the middle of the night, you hear an entire song, the melody, the lyrics, the bridge. Like, that's the best, right? When you wake up and, you know, everything's coming to you. I have one of my favorite songs by me, Tiffany Styles, is like that. My Christmas song I wrote is like that. It's just, the whole thing just comes to you. But sometimes you have to just bear down and like actually go and figure out the rhymes, or it'll be a theme. Like, for me, I write about what my life is for the most part. So whatever I'm going through, which unfortunately most of the time is heartbreak. but you know, you get down and sometimes, you know, you get that wall, the ghost not there. So you just start with a line and then you go with what rhymes with that line. But then you want to make it sweet though. So you want to do, you know, your metaphors and stuff like that. So it just goes by each day, whatever, however you feel in the studio. It's not always the same.
So are you writing for other people or just yourself?
I have written for other people. Actually, tonight, my studio session, I just got commissioned to write for a couple R&B artists. So I have some songs for other people. Y'all need help too. I could do that.
Is the process different for other people?
Honestly, the people that they ask me to write for are artists that are similar to myself. Mm-hmm. So right now the process is still from that same place of real, you know, emotion, real experience. Because I feel like people can tell when a song is just like bubblegum out of thin air. You know what I'm saying? Especially with R&B, I think it has to come, for me personally, it has to come from the real place.
Is it the singer or is it the song?
What you mean? Is the real place the singer or the song?
Like the real place. Is that the singer or the song? Because I've heard some songs where if you just put them on paper, they really elementary. But
yeah.
But the person singing them sang them in such a way that it resonates with everything in you.
You know what? I mean, I feel like it's a little bit of both. I've only sang songs that I wrote for myself. As of now, I'm open to having people write with me, but I do take great pride in writing myself. Like, I feel like I'm a rapper in that sense, where it's like, no, these are my bars. You know what I mean? But some people could just blow. You know what I'm saying? Whitney Houston ain't pick up a pen to do nothing but sign her checks, and she might have somebody else do that. But you could have somebody else sing any of those songs she's singing, it wouldn't be the same.
It's,
you know,
not even close.
So it depends. Like, some people just have that thing that nobody else will ever have. But for me, I do take great pride in writing.
And I'm sorry, I'm not good with texting that, but I got to text T-Rex back. Shout out to Nerd DJs Radio. We are on Nerd DJs Radio, too. Just to let you know, that's the family. My bad. I'm old, and multitasking is not in my repertoire anymore.
Listen, I ain't that old. You see, I got confused when somebody texted me.
Yo,
I'm like, so wait, hold on.
You from Detroit, right?
Yes, I am.
What high school you go to?
I was a Cavs.
Okay.
Yep. So I'm born and raised in Detroit. Went to Cavs, then I went to SMU in Dallas for college. Then I tried living in Miami for a minute. And then I came back home. And then I lived in LA for a little bit, right, like I would say, after the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And then I just got back a year and a half ago.
What's changed about the Detroit music scene?
Well, when I started, it was a lot more live music. I would like to say that I had a lot to do with that, though. I was booking my own shows. My first residency was at Old Miami. Then I got L Club. I opened L Club. And then I opened Deluxe Flux. And I feel like when we was popping, when you know, Do What I Say was out, and I was doing my thing weekly, it was just a lot more of my friends who had shows all the time. Mm-hmm. Do you agree? Like, do you feel like it's a lot less live music now?
I'm not really on the scene to be out in no clubs.
Like, okay.
If I'm out of the club, I'm probably asleep at the bar, and I'm the old nigga out of the club.
You know what? And I just feel like back in the day, I don't want to say back in the day because it ain't that long ago, but like, when I started the scene, when it was me, Sony, Super Cool Wicked, it was Sheepy, it was just all of us. We had a show every week. Like, I was just always at shows. So I think that's what's a lot different now. It's a lot more of a DJ culture, which I love. You know what I'm saying? I do love to dance. But I'm
this. Is anybody even dancing at the clubs now? Like, all I see is pictures of niggas in, oh, we got a booth.
So you talk about them other clubs. I'm talking about the hipsters with my people.
Okay.
You know, when we at Spotlight, when we at Northern Light, we definitely getting the boogie. At Parramatta, we are dancing. So yeah, the hipsters still dancing. We'll never
the
stop.
Boogie.
the hipsters will never stop dancing. Y'all don't gotta worry about that.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, the best parties back in my day. Was the house clubs?
Yes. Yes, that's what we do. TV
ain't
lounge.
Shit like a house party, and I don't mean a house party in somebody's house. If you don't know what I'm talking about, to my house music,
Spotlight. Yeah, we're still dancing. We're 100% dancing.
So house music is still popping.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I got a banging like remix with Sheepy called "You're Mine." It's actually one of my biggest songs. It's got most of the one of the biggest plays, but it's underground. You know how house DJs are. But I love house. Eastern Market. That's kind of where we got our start, in the loft over there, doing those shows over there. So yeah, it'll always be a part of me.
Is the hip hop scene helping or overshadowing?
Yes. No, I think it's helping. I think it's getting, anything that gets eyes on Detroit is helping. The Lions winning is helping. You know what I mean? Rhythm and flow shooting here is helping. Like, anything that gets the eyes on Detroit will help us for sure. But as far as, like I said, live music, I don't know what spark it's going to have to take. Yeah. But we just, I'm going to just have to get back out there like I did back then. I was calling venues and booking myself and like putting the money up myself. So I think that's just it's gonna have to be another round of us that do that again.
I would agree. I do think that it's going to take people taking it back to the essence.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm absolutely certain that there's a market for it.
Yeah. Like, I just did a show with Sweet last week. We sold out so fast. As soon as they announced it, we sold out. And like, a lot of the people in the crowd were there for a sweet, but once even me singing, like, you could just feel a sigh of relief, like, oh, this girl can actually sing. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's a market there. We don't have to just go to the club and stand around, like you said. People actually want to be, it's Motown. People want to hear some people singing.
So who are you listening to right now that is not from Detroit?
Okay. Right now, I'm listening to Cleo Soul bad. I'm listening to her real bad. Who else do I got? Oh, now this might surprise you, but it's this rapper Young and Ace from Florida. Mm-hmm. I'm listening to. He just dropped I Control My Destiny. And his lead song is called Done Crying. And it's just speaking to me because I'm a little bit of a crybaby.
Is it like Rod Wave 2.0?
You know what? It's more Lil Durk 2.0.
Okay, I got you. Rod Wave is depressing.
Rod Wave is I never go diss nobody, but that's a little bit out of my realm. I like a little bit. I like a thug cry, like when you cry.
I feel worse saying a nigga name. Like, I'm sorry.
Rod. I like when you cry. Okay. I like when you cry. You like. You know what I'm saying? You fighting it a little bit, like, yeah. So that's why I like Young and Ace. So keep it on repeat. You like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, my God.
Like, yeah. So I've been listening to him. It's this one guy, Lo Shimmy. He did a song called "For Me" with Brent Faiyaz. I've been really tapped into. My little homies put me on all of them. So yeah, but Cleo Soul, as far as like singers, that girl, she's got the perfect blend of like inspiration without being corny. You know what I'm saying? And like a little bit of sex appeal. So that's kind of who I like. That's who I think I am too.
Yeah, see, I've never heard of Cleo Soul. I'm gonna have to check her out.
Oh yeah, that's it. You're gonna love it.
Yo, okay, so this is a question I ask everybody that comes on the show. You're sitting on a park bench, and God sits down next to you and says you can ask him or her one question. What would it be?
God, I would say, why did he allow people to suffer so much? That would be my question. Yeah, I feel so blessed every day to be a naturally optimistic person, but it's been a while. The world going through some wild stuff right now, so that would be my question.
I guess I'm curious. Without suffering, would we know happiness?
I don't think it's like killing kids to, you know what I'm saying, to know happiness. I think, of course, we all gonna have some bad days, but some stuff is just out of hand, and that's what get my. That's what makes me a little bit sour with God sometimes. It's just the extreme suffering from some people.
And you know, people kill me. Well, you're not supposed to question God. Or you're not supposed to be mad at
God.
Yeah. Yeah, nigga, you supposed to be.
You got to. I think
like,
so.
You can't have a relationship. You can't say, I got a relationship with God, and that relationship is not always beautiful.
Yeah.
There's going to be sometimes some shit happens in your life, and you're going to be angry at God.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, I've been there, so that would be my question.
Yeah. It's not the anger with God. It's how do you repair that anger?
Yeah, like, I know I get up each day and just choose joy. That's what my dad told me when I was younger, because, I said, I was a little bit of a crybaby. So I get up every day and choose joy, but, you know, I have that option. I live in a dope place. I have a talent. I have a purpose. I have cool people around me, but for some people, I'm just like, dang, I be trying to get it together, trying to be inspirational to them, and it sound like I'm like, they just be like, girl, I want to hear from you. You got everything. You know what I'm saying?
So, it seems easier coming from certain people.
Yeah.
You know, when I see rich people trying to give you positive quotes, nigga, I don't give a fuck. You ain't got to get up and go to work today. Like, you don't even got to get out the bed today. You can ring a bell and somebody will bring you some shit. Like, and I know you may not have started that way, but today you rich, bro. Just go back to bed, man.
I mean, well, shoot, one day I'm going to be rich, so I'm still going to be giving out advice to you, too. So.
What is rich for you?
Rich for me is not having to worry about anything and my family not having to worry about anything. Like, I want to be able to, you know, get my sister a new house, buy my nephew his first car, retire my parents. Like, that's rich for me. And also, I would love to be able to just travel at the drop of a dime. Like, that is one of my biggest dreams, is to be able to see the world.
Is there a dream destination?
Right now, okay, so I have a few, but right now I really want to go see Japan. I really, like, I've been tapping into their culture. It's super, like, everybody is super polite. Everything is super organized. The food is good. The clothes. That's where I really want to go. See some. Megan said, what's that she not?
Yo, that Meg Thee Stallion song with the Japanese rapper.
Yeah.
Pretty genius. And I hate Meg Thee Stallion. I don't hate her, but I am not a fan of Meg Thee Stallion at all. But that song, brilliant. Thought that was
that song was so good. Yeah. I feel like bridging the cultures. That's one place I really want to go. And then right now, because it's getting cold, I just need to be with somebody beach in a bikini.
Oh boy, I had to go to the grocery store today and that shit was like the apocalypse.
You like, forget it, I don't need to eat. Forget it. It's so cold.
I didn't even do it for meals for my damn dog. Dog food.
You're so sweet. What kind of dog you got?
Oh my god, a leech. Unemployed.
Well, you picked them. Ain't nobody here asked to be in your house. You picked them.
Shout out to Moose. I got a lot of
Shout out to Moose.
Moose has been driving me crazy. what's your biggest pet peeve?
Oh, okay. My biggest pet peeve. Oh my God. I can't stand a complainer that won't take no resolve. Like, I am a person who tries. I'm a solution-based person.
Okay.
So if you come to me, first of all, I am very open-hearted. My DMs is always open. I'm giving advice.
Whoa, I'm sorry. We got to stop you right. No, not for crazy shit. You got to
not for crazy, but I'm telling you, I always, you know, let people know they can come talk to me, because I know a lot of people don't have people to talk to. God bless me with a listening ear. But if you come and talk to me, friend or stranger, and I give you a solution, and you got a unsolution for every solution, baby.
Oh, so irritating.
You could count your days how many times more you're gonna be talking to me. I cannot stand a person who has no initiative and won't fix. Come on now.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody. We from Detroit. We from Detroit. Like, ain't no silver spoons getting passed out around here. Ain't nobody coming to save you. I don't care how cute you is. I don't care how fat your buddy is. Ain't nobody coming to save you. So, baby. Most of the time, you could just go get you a job and you'll probably feel better.
Oh, and for the record, she said DM her, not me. I don't want to hear your shit. I'm not interested. I don't care how your day went.
You can talk to me.
No, you cannot talk to me. Do not DM me about shit. Okay?
My name is Bev Love for a reason. It's really in my nature.
This is intellectually petty for a reason. No, I don't want your shit. Go somewhere else.
Go. Take it to what they call a better therapy.
Yo,
you don't want to hear it.
How did you meet up with Mikey Eckstein? And if you, I'm telling you, if you do not know who Mikey Eckstein is in Michigan, and you are trying to do anything in the entertainment industry,
it's crazy.
It's going through him in some way.
In some way. Okay, so I'm trying to think. I've been knowing Mikey for years. I met him through my sister. You probably know my sister. She's one of the finest girls in the city. Her name is Antesia. She runs Beautiful Machine Magazine. And I think that's what it was. Yep. He was friends with my sister's partner, Demetrius, on a magazine. Okay. And they had this little crew. It was him, Demetrius, Chuck. You know Chuck?
No, but I interviewed with Demetrius.
Okay, so you know Demetrius. Mm. So all of them was like in the circle. You know, Mikey was all he always want a crew when he go out. He don't want it to just be pimp when he go out. So you'll be thinking you're getting a special invite, then you show up and it's like 12 other people there. You're like, oh, okay, well, we all hang out.
I don't know if that's Mikey's crew. It's just Mikey knows everybody.
No, I think, because I mean, you like, I had a photo shoot. Mikey set up a photo shoot the other day. Mm-hmm. I get there. It is, I kid you not, I swear to God, it was 12 other people there. And when I say it was the coolest vibes, everybody was on the same wave, like, just beautiful, diverse, just positive, sexy people. Like, he just got the rubber date.
Yeah.
So that's how I met him years ago. It was probably around my L Club era. He was friends with Demetrius and my sister. And then I just got added to the guest list thing.
Yo, getting added to the guest list thing for Mikey is...
Right?
That's some shit.
It has been player, I ain't gonna lie.
Add me to the guest list, Mikey. Like, okay. What are you doing out there, bro?
Please, get him on there.
Add me. I'm just saying, you know.
Period.
I'll text you.
You said you ain't gonna come out anyway. You already said it.
Oh, well, if Mikey hits me up and says, yeah, I need you to show up, I show up.
Okay. All right. So, well,
that's a different invite. Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, like, I don't want to, like, look, I'm not coming out and you got me in the 30th row. I'm not.
Right. Okay. I'm talking about on the floor. He had me on the floor at the Lions game on Thanksgiving.
That's the type of shit I'm talking about.
That's the plug. That's the
I was at home on the couch. I think that back. I was at work.
I did not
get an invite because I would have called the fuck off. The Lions? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, man. During this season too, it's just been so fire being here right now. Everything is so electrified in the city.
What surprised you so far in this journey of yours?
What surprised me, I would say, about myself.
Mm-hmm.
I still get surprised when people like know me and like praise my singing voice to be one of the best that they've heard. I mean, I don't mean to say it like that, but it's crazy when like people I've met years ago and they tell me like, you have one of the best voices that I remember. Like, I remember you making me feel this way. You making me cry. I haven't felt such soul from a person in a long time. That always surprises me. Because when you're a singer, well, some people love hearing their own voice. Mm-hmm. But for me, sometimes it's just like, I could think of a thousand girls that I feel like may sound better than me. So mm-hmm. it's always a surprise to me when people just react the way that they do to me, like hearing me for the first time or reminding me about when they heard me for the first time. That's always surprising to me. Like, people love my voice. It fuels me. It keeps me going, for real.
I want to be able to sing so bad, and I'm tragic.
Man, it's such a blessing. It's like a best friend, for real. You don't need nobody. I live alone. So it's me and my voice most of the time.
Oh, like, so what do you do when it's a bad day for you singing?
Like, if I sound bad or if I'm having a bad day? If I sound bad? Yes. Oh, God. Oh, it's tragic. It's heartbreaking. It's the worst. Like, right now, I'm a little bit sick, and it's hard for me to sing, but I still sing anyway because I got to push through it. But, yeah, I can't wait to get better. It makes me sad. It's like when your baby sings.
Best vocal advice you've gotten?
The best vocal advice I got was actually from Quincy Jones, which is crazy that I got to meet him. He told me to pick my favorite 10 singers and mimic them every single song they've ever made. And I haven't done that yet. I picked 3, but I feel like now that he's gone for real, like, mm-hmm. I gotta find some more and learn every song that they made too.
So who are your 3?
Ironically, one was Tweet, and I just got to open for her. Brandy and Beyonce, of course.
You know what surprised me over the years is the amount of singers that mention Brandy.
Yeah.
As one of their favorite singers.
Really? Have you ever got into her?
I mean, I've heard Brandy's music, but I've never really kind of like went down the wormhole.
Oh yeah, baby, that's the one right there. She gonna get you them runs. She rests right here, like in her diaphragm. She don't. It's not all nasally. It's not. She's not mimicking. She remind you of her early stuff. She was like trying to sing like Whitney Houston, but once she got older, she got her own whole soul and style. And a lot of us are her kids. Jasmine Sullivan, Janae Aiko, Chris Brown. A lot of people you wouldn't even think to know. Like if you go back and forth between, you will see like that's literally a Brandy run. So yeah.
Yo, and I just
tap in. I don't know how big of an R&B fan you are, but
yeah, you know what it is. She does, you know, like it's the strong vocals that, you know, like the Whitney Houston.
You like a belter.
Well, most of us do.
Really?
And I think most of the listening audience likes a belter, and most of the singers like a Brandy.
You think most of the list, because I find, well, maybe because now look who we got. We got Mariah the Scientist, we got SZA, we got Summer Walker, Creoso, we got who Belton. They ain't Belton.
But they not on that level either.
Okay, chill. Next question.
Okay, you tell me who was even remotely close to where Whitney was.
I mean, that's okay. We can't. That'll never happen.
Yeah, because that's just different.
I think her voice was a pressure for her. I think keeping up with that probably drove herself crazy. Like she became her own worst enemy by having to keep up with the standard that she set when she was 19. Like one day you're gonna be 35. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So trying to keep up with that, and it was like, forget it, I'm a party now. You know what I'm saying? I think that's what really Yeah, I think her being so cold is what got her.
It robbed her of a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when you reach the goal, the highest goal, way too early, you never capture that again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, what can you do when you've done an hour, you know, when you've done Bodyguard? Like, what can you do when you do, you know? So that is why it's a little bit, even though my journey has been like this, it still gives me something to go for every day. Yeah. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I take the blessing in that as well. But I have to put my foot on it this year. I'm not playing this year. I'm not. I got so much.
What's going to be different music. This year? What you got? What you got in the chamber?
I got so much unreleased music. I'm tired. I was in the studio. I was in the studio with my homeboy, and I was playing my unreleased stuff for him, and I didn't realize that I had played it for him twice before already. And do you know he turned that damn speaker off? He turned the whole, and he was like, I don't want to hear it no more. If you're not dropping it, I don't want to hear it. And people don't yell at me, first of all, so that was new. I was a little startled by that. But the passion in him saying that to me just let me know, like, what's the point of making all of this stuff if nobody's going to hear it? You know, you can't be a perfectionist all the time. Of course, no. People maybe expected greatness from you, but I'm doing this all out of my pocket, so I can't be comparing myself to Doja Cat right now and like, oh, I don't want to put it out because it don't sound like this. Well, you'll never get to that if you're sitting on it. So yeah, this year, put on next, more shows, more videos, and I'm putting out all my music that I'm sitting on. It's too much.
Live, what separates your show from others?
The mic is on. Live, I think.
I love that, Penny.
Number one, right. Number one, the mic is on.
They're killing shit with this singing over
stuff. Oh my God, anyway. Take the vocals out. Most of the time I have my band, my band code. I think I'm really good at relating to people, as mm-hmm. we said already. So I think when you get to my show, it's kind of spiritual. Whatever you don't get from me on that track, you're going to get from me in a live show. I love live shows. I love being there with people. I love watching people come in skeptical and then watching their face change when I sing. I love when I prove the sound guy, when I do my sound check, and they be all, sound guys, they be a little gruff most of the time. Then you mess around, pick that mic up. They be like, oh, when you coming back?
Okay.
So yeah, I love everything about a live show. But yeah, I think the biggest thing would be for me doing a live show is just that connection I have. I think it's something special that I have with people. I was blessed with the ability to connect with people.
Do you do any covers?
I have added some covers. Right now I'm doing the Jill Scott, The Way. That's a winner. They love that. I do ICU, Coco Jones. I'm doing a Rihanna cover with the Detroit Players on the 18th. I used to didn't do it. My ego was so big. My ego was so big when I first came out. Oh my God. I think back to the people who I was, how I was talking to people and how I would listen to everybody.
Like even the biggest stars, Whitney Houston's biggest song is a cover.
Yeah, exactly. But that was, like I said earlier, I told you my biggest thing was that I am a songwriter. So people would be like, oh, babe, I would love to hear you sing this. I'd be like, well, just imagine it. I don't care. You came to my show, you're going to hear my song. So, yeah, now, though, it actually feels good to do some covers because it breaks you into a crowd when people don't know you. So that's a good way to get into, people who've never seen you before. If they hear something that's familiar and then you kill it too, then, that's a little bit easier way to put it.
Okay, so I give you two tickets to any two concerts in the history of song.
Okay.
Who do you go see?
I'm going to have to go see Prince. I never got to see him.
And I want to see Prince in a small room. I'm just throwing it out there, but go ahead.
Okay, I heard about those small room shows.
Yeah, like a tiny desk Prince would be just crazy.
Well, I want it a little bit bigger because I want him to hit that split. Remember when he did the split 12 times in a row? I want him to do that.
keep your cheeks hidden.
No, pull the cheeks out, baby.
I don't need no splits, bro.
I want to see it. Let me see. Okay, so Prince. All right, and then my second one. Dang, I only get one more. Okay. I don't know if it's because we've been talking about her all night, but I would use for Whitney. Yeah.
You know, crazy, like I loved her voice, but not her catalog all that much.
What?
Like, who was that I had on the show? And we were talking about, she did a Whitney versus Anita Baker.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's not even close. That's Anita. And she's like, you losing your mind.
Oh, and I she don't posted know. It's something different.
And
it's
tagged different. Me. And yo, niggas love Whitney.
We love Whitney. I mean, it's different. It's different. Now, you're talking about an underground legend when you come to Anita. You know what I'm saying? You're talking about a playthrough that caught up in a Rapture album.
One of the most perfect albums in the history of vocal chords.
Exactly. But
Whitney does not have one of those albums.
I mean, we talk about How Will I Know and I Will Always Love You. It's Not Right, But It's Okay. We talk about Heartbreak Hotel. We talk about Shoop. Let's not.
Damn.
Not too much of my girl.
I love you, Anita. I'm Detroit. I got you, baby.
Anita, yes.
Just say
yes, queen. Queen.
Oh, God.
Queen Ziva, honey. She got an attitude and she don't care.
Is there a career that like you would prefer if you could do it all? Is a Jill Scott career more okay. in tune with what you like, or Erykah Badu career as opposed Ooh. To, you know, like Lauryn Hill, so to speak?
Right. You know what? I think Jennifer. Okay. So maybe not catalog wise, Jennifer Hudson. But her career, her trajectory, I do enjoy that. Because starting off with the singing, the touring, and then going into the movies, and now having her own TV show, I would love to have a sort of trajectory like that. That would be super cool.
I didn't even think
but
about that.
But I would definitely want to have some bangers with that. Like, J-Hood, I love her. She had a room with her. She didn't have people in the room with her. So maybe if I was in a room with her, she'd need me to write her a song.
Yeah, her,
I could do that.
She's a classic example of the voice.
The voice, 100%. But yeah, I love her trajectory. I love, you know, going from that to Dreamgirls and now to having a TV show and actually being really cool, like bringing joy every single day to TV. It's not no lame TV show. It's actually a really good show.
I would take Fantasia over her.
Singing or?
Singing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's different. They both got that belting on them. And yeah, then Fantasia actually got to do Broadway.
Yeah, so Fantasia had her heart broke. I don't know if Jennifer, she didn't have her shit broke and stomped on. You could tell.
Why y'all want us to have our heart broke so bad? I think that's why we be getting our hearts broke.
Well, no, but you gotta admit, like, people would, like, heartbreak is the most powerful tool in music.
It is, and that scares me because I do want to have a family one day, but it's like, sometimes I feel like I sabotage.
Well, it's one of the few things that we can all identify with.
True.
Whether you're man, woman, black, Chinese, green, whatever, people get their heart broke across the planet.
True. So I'm ready to remember my heartbreak and not have to go through it no more, child. I'm tired of my heart.
You ain't never broke a nigga heart.
Yes. And I think that is why.
Okay,
that
tell me about
why.
That. You fucked up. You did. Do you regret it?
I regret the way that it went. I do. But
how did you break his heart?
We weren't in a match. Oh my God. It was so bad. It was so bad. Okay.
I really need to know now.
It was so bad. It was so bad. So this was right when I did my old Miami residency, that era. This was the Rachel House era. Me and Sheepy were throwing parties, like house parties, damn trimming. We was over Miami. We was throwing parties all the time. We had my backyard in Woodbridge. So he just was so excited to be my boyfriend. Like, it was an exciting time to be my boyfriend. I would say that. Like, if you was hanging out.
If you say so yourself, huh?
If I say so, like he didn't have to worry about no weekend plans ever. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay. we were having a ball. So he was a really nice guy, but he wasn't ambitious. I quit my job. I was like, I'm done. I'm about to be a singer. I'm famous. Like, we did it. I'm done. I quit my job. He quit his job 2 weeks later. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm a singer. Okay, cool. Whatever. Stuck by him for a minute, you know what I'm saying? Oh my God, he's probably not gonna watch this anyway, so I can tell the whole thing. But he ended up moving into my place, which was little. It was just me. I came home one, like I had left for this shoot. It was an early morning shoot, and he was asleep when I left. I came home at like 11 o'clock He moved to the couch and he's still asleep. And I'm like, okay, don't like this. Then he and I had to put him on after. I was like, this ain't gonna work. You sleep all the time. Like, I'm grinding. We just having fun. It's not gonna work. So you know he got locked up that weekend for having a gun on him. So then he asked me to sing for him. He called my cell phone. He asked me to sing for him. I'm like, oh my God, this motherfucker thing. I'm a writer, scientist. Like, boy, you was not Young Thug. Like, this is not that. You know what I'm saying? Like, at least, you know, Thugger was probably sending gifts. He probably, all this, you know. I'm like, you was broke then, now you're going to be even broker. No. But I sang for him. Because, you know, I ain't never been to jail. I could imagine this probably scary situation in there. So I sang for him. But I knew right then in my head, I was like, this would be his last song. I know, it's so bad. It's so bad.
So this man quit his job.
He quit his job.
And to support your career.
No.
And because he was a little tired and sleep at 11 o'clock at night. Like,
in the morning. In the morning.
I'm saying, but when you came home, he was asleep, and that was 11 o'clock.
It was in the morning. No, I left at 6 and came home at 11, and he was still asleep. So I'm already up. I done did a whole day. Wow. And you still asleep.
Brother,
and then the fact that he moved from the bed to the couch meant that you woke up
and was exhausted. He spent the night trying to figure out how to get you to the next level.
And then next thing you know,
this nigga rolling around, he's trying to do B&Es just to support your career, gets caught with the gun, with the burner.
I was like, boy, now you a boy, where you get a gun?
Oh
like,
my God, this nigga throws his life away for you. And you the thing you get is this the last song you get, nigga?
This the last song, honey, but I sang it real good. And I hope he held it up so his fellow bunk mates could hear it, honey. I hope he did. But when he got on out of there, I said, baby, this ain't gonna work. And he cried. And that hurt my feelings for real. But I just saw a life of me in my little bitty apartment with this knucklehead.
Please tell me this nigga is rich now. And he's Batman.
He ain't rich now, but he is doing well. He did go get him a real job. And that would have never happened. Shout out to him. That would have never happened if he was sticking around trying to be my roadie.
Wait a minute. You almost ruined this nigga life. And now you want the credit?
I ruined his life.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you petty for real. You petty for real. Ain't nobody tell that man to quit his job because I quit my job. Ain't nobody tell. And then he didn't even consult me first. He just came back to the crib like, maybe I quit too. And I'm like, what? Wait, why? Like,
oh, my God.
What do you mean? No. Take your ass back down to the quicken loan.
Oh my God. That's
sometimes I do feel like by me breaking his heart like that is why I have maybe endured some of the karma that I did after dating him, because I ain't never seen no man cry like that. Like, I was like, ooh, you gonna have that, baby. You gonna have to go. Like,
Wow, you kicked it.
You were hurting my feelings. Now, like, I don't even know. What do I do? What do I do when you're crying like this? Like,
he went to New Orleans and put voodoo on you, baby.
Don't say that. Guess what? Because he could do it. I'm going to come up out of this. My next one going to be the real one live.
Yo, this has been a phenomenal conversation. I cannot possibly thank you enough. I have thoroughly enjoyed this. And I wish you all the success in the world. And I'm joking about the voodoo shit.
Shout out to that nigga, though.
I'm glad you're doing good.
Shout out to him, yeah.
Yes. I'm going to send it to you, bro. I told you I'd ask the question on this fucking
Oh, my God. I can't believe you got that one out of me. That's crazy.
Oh, my God. Yo, and shout out to Mikey.
Yeah.
That's my guy, man. If you already know, man. If you need anything, man, just hit me up and I got you. Anything you want to tell the people before we go? I know you got shit to do.
Love the background,
by the way, too. I'm sorry.
Thank you. That's my neon sign. Fire. My boy George made it for me. It's not from Amazon, baby. So we got the Christmas song dropping tomorrow. It's called This Time of Year because I love Christmas, as we talked about. So make sure you get that. On the 18th, I'm going to be performing with my Detroit Players. And then my next song is coming out really soon. I can't tell you. My new music is dropping real soon. So just get ready for that. And I'm launching a new business called Party Girl Therapy. And our first event is in January. So be on the lookout for that as well.
Oh, no doubt. You know, man, what time is the event going to be, though?
Like early? So that's going to be, that's an evening event. It's going to be at 7 p.m. on the third Thursday of the month, which is the 16th, January 16th, at the Love Building.
Yeah, that's peak old man hours.
Peak old man hours. Come on out. Get you some. I know you don't like people to talk to you, but maybe you want to talk to me.
You got me crying in the back.
Tell me what's coming. Talk to me.
on that note, definitely, if there's anything I can possibly do for you in the future, please let me know. And yeah. I got you. Truly, truly, truly appreciate you stopping by. This has been an honor.
Thank you. I had a blast.
Oh, no doubt, man. You have a good one, and I wish you all the success that the planet has to offer any individual.
Thank you so much. Peace.
No doubt. Peace out. Yo, that was pretty dope, man. Shout out to Bev Love. We got Johnny Walker coming up at 7 p.m. That will be pretty fire. Shout out to her. Yo, shout out again. I can't thank Mikey Eckstein enough. Yo, wait a minute. Hold on. I didn't notice this. Why nobody said nothing about this eye? Anyway, this is Jobs. It's been another episode of Intellectually Petty Radio, and I'm out.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, we're all set for the party. I've trimmed the tree, hung the mistletoe, and paired all those weird-shaped knives and forks with the appropriate cheeses. And I plugged in the Bartesian.
Bartesian?
It's a home cocktail maker that makes over 60 premium cocktails, plus a whole lot of seasonal favorites, too. I just got it for 50 off. So, how about a Klosmopolitan or a mistletoe margarita?
I'm thirsty.
Watch. I just pop in a capsule, choose my strength, and...
Wow. It's beginning to feel more seasonal in here already.
If your holiday party doesn't have a bartender, then you become the bartender. Unless you've got a Bartesian, because Bartesian crafts every cocktail perfectly in as little as 30 seconds. And I just got it for $50 off.
Tis the season to be jollier.
Add some holiday flavor to every celebration with the sleek, sophisticated home cocktail maker, Bartesian. Get $50 off any cocktail maker at bartesian.com/cocktail. That's BARTESIAN.com/cocktail.